Breaking news,
and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
And we're back with you live with the BT Express and Charles Show Me the Way with the Expressway, brought to you by NFLAlumniMedia.com. We are here always every week talking about New York Giants, New York Jets football, as well as the world of sports, anything and everything that's happening in the world of sports, as well as off-topic discussions that we think are pertinent to our world and yours as well. Well, this week is no surprise that all the news surrounding the New York Giants is Saquon Barkley. Obviously, he missed minicamp, and he was just had a camp, and he had cameras in front of him, and he was a little bit upset in his interview with reporters at his camp because he feels as though he's being portrayed as being greedy. And he said specifically that he is not trying to redefine the running back market. He just wants to get paid what he deserves. What do you think about that, BT?
I look at the whole situation. We talked about a long time ago that the Giants wanted people who had good character, integrity, great teammates. He fits all the mold of that. If you were to design, Charles Wade, a running back from the AI, artificial intelligence, you designed Saquon Barkley. He came back 100% from a major knee surgery where he missed a lot of times. And some people don't come back to be 100%. He came back to lead the team in rushing, lead the team in receptions, over 16. He wasn't there. I don't think the Giants would have made the playoffs. And I think because he's in New York, he deserves more than any other person because you got to put up with so much media stuff. I mean, they would question him all the time about, is he ready? Is he hurt? I mean, and he stood up to the media, did an outstanding job, was a great teammate, Charles Wade. And I think he deserves his money. I looked at every devalue Saquon. He worked his behind off to get back to be 100% and was definitely instrumental in them winning, going to the playoffs.
And I totally agree with you. I've had a lot of time to think about it. And you think about it, the top two highest paid running backs in the NFL are Alvin Kamara and McCaffrey. McCaffrey is making around $16.4 million a year. Alvin Kamara is making about $12.5 a year. I think there is a way where the Giants can make him still possibly or potentially the highest paid, or at least equivalent to McCaffrey, if not the highest paid running back, and make it incentive based. You can guarantee a lot of the money. Most running backs don't play until the end of their contract. So make sure that all of that money he's guaranteed for his first 2 years, he gets it. And then that third or fourth year, he has to earn it. If he plays, he gets all of that money. If he doesn't, he doesn't get the money. But he should be paid accordingly. He is the best player on that offensive team at this moment. He is a dynamic weapon, and he should get something in the range of Brian McCaffrey money.
And I totally understand what you're talking about, Charles Wade, but as I looked at every single team, Saquon had more to do with the team making the playoffs than any other running back. I mean, McCaffrey didn't do as much as San Francisco because he got traded there, but Saquon was the main reason why people had to worry about him. If you looked at the defense every single year and every single game, they had to worry about Saquon stopping him. And if they didn't stop him, the Giants really didn't have a chance. I thought Danny Jones benefited from it totally. I think it was around 38 to 40% of the offense was Saquon Barkley. If you design somebody from a computer, you know, they came back from knee surgery and came back to be 100%, it's Saquon Barkley. He made himself 100% ready to play, and he was not 99%, he was 100%. Everybody gets nicked up at a running back, and sometimes you play hurt. He played hurt for the Giants,
and he had 1,600 and something yards, led the team in receptions and rushing. And see, I think that is so much being in New York, doing what he did to get them to the playoffs. They ought to give him the money. He said he didn't want to break the bank. He didn't want to be the top paid running back, but he should be up there close because there's no other running back who did what he did for their team and made the playoffs. So I just think that the Giants don't want to lose him because you said, and I've seen it already, that he's upset. You can tell by the way he talks to people now. Before, you know, he was a kind of a happy-go-lucky guy, told, you know, was very appropriate to everybody. But you could tell when you looked at him, Charles Way, that he's mad. And I agree with him because all the stuff that he did and not being able to get paid for it, I'm just lost on that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the key factor in all of this will come down to John Mara. And you know John Mara just as well as I do. He doesn't like the media publicity around this, especially someone as beloved as Saquon Barkley. He loves Saquon Barkley. He is a Giant for life in his mind. And so he wants to do what's right by him and the team, but I think more so by the player as well. I've been around John Mara for a long time, just like you have. And I think he's going to play a critical role in these negotiations. And he'll do what's fair by is fair and what's right by everybody, all parties involved. And I think Saquon Barkley will probably get the $16.4 million. I think it's up to Joe Shane to be creative in getting him that money and getting him to be the highest paid running back and making sure he has the guaranteed money that he wants as well. Whether it's a 4-year or 5-year contract, I don't know if I would give another 5-year contract. If it would be 5-year contract, I don't think the last 2 years would be fully guaranteed or guaranteed at all. But I would give him at least 3 years of full guarantee and partially guaranteed 4 and 5 just to show your appreciation for what he's done for the team up to this point.
They do it for everybody else, Charles Way. Anybody who's had a great season in the past, they're getting the money for what they did in the past, not for what they did in the future. And I think there's too many players like that. I think you're just putting some in because of the value of the running back. But the thing I wanted to say also, Charles, is that the Giants have more talent now than they had last year with Darren Waller, the tight end from the Raiders. They got the new receiver from Tennessee, Hyatt. And I think they're not going to have to depend on Saquon Barkley as they've done the last couple of years. And I think that's going to help his game also and help him not to take a beating like he has the last year. So I think with the team getting better, is going to do nothing but help Saquon and bring him in there happy. You don't want to disgruntle a ball player, especially when he's such a vital part of your offense.
But, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, especially last week, but that Eric Gray kid is exciting.
Yes,
I'm excited.
Is.
I'm excited to see him. You know, he's almost like that, the Eckler dude at San Diego where he's quick and lightning and just makes plays and can get through the small. He's almost like, Pollard was for Dallas and Ezekiel. It was like a thunder and lightning type of deal. It was almost like Tiki Rondane 2.0 because yep. You have an explosive guy, but you also have a pounded out type of guy in Saquon. And like I said, I would love to see, and I hope I get this version now that he's another year removed from his knee surgery. I hope we get Saquon that I saw in Penn State, the guy that nimble on his feet, can make people miss, is a threat in the pass game. I think that would add a tremendous amount of excitement and explosiveness to this offense that I think it needs. I think Daniel Jones needs it. And you'll open up the other receivers because think about this. You mentioned it more than once. Darren Waller will probably be Daniel Jones's go-to guy. What better way to complement Waller's effectiveness than to have a running back coming out of the backfield going against a linebacker who can't cover him? I mean, you have the potential to have a dynamic duo, and you're not even talking about the wide receivers yet. And so I'm excited. about the potential of this offense. I'm excited about Eric Gray. I can't wait to see him in training camp. I can't wait to see him in the preseason because I think he's going to be a difference maker. The problem that I see for any team in the NFL because of that is that will you see them starting to rely on Eric Gray if he does become that dynamic player that makes the huge big play? And you see they just got finished paying Saquon Barkley like $16, $17 million a year, $18 million a year. And this dude came out of nowhere and he's like blowing up the league. That's the worry I have.
Well, I just think it does nothing but help Saquon if you bring in more talent and you bring in competition at running back. Because you know yourself, running back is the most competitive position because one year you could have a great year, the next year they can bring in somebody to take your place. So I understand Saquon wanting the money right now, not later. Because, you know, he played 5 years on that first rookie contract, and I think they should have went to him before. Because in his rookie year, I think he had over 2,000 yards combined yardage. And for him to do that kind of stuff, Charles Wade, he deserves to get paid and to come back from a major situation like his knee surgery. I mean, I just think, you know how hard it is to come back. And I've never had a major knee surgery. I had an arthroscope. And so I kind of know what's happening on that because, you know, when I had my little arthroscope, I had to work my behind off just to get back to normal. So I know what he's gone through. And to go through it with his kind of attitude and the way that he portrays himself and the way he handles himself, all that stuff is going into, because, you know, the coaches look at all that kind of stuff. So I just know that, you know, if you look at it the right way, don't deny him.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff. Can't wait to see what happens in training camp. We will both be there watching and waiting to see if what we prognosticated comes true. You're listening to the NFL Alumni Media Network, the Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me the Way. We have much, much more. We're going to talk about the Jets in the next segment and if they will acquire these two talented receivers out there in the free agent market. Hang on with us. We'll be right back to let you know who they are. You're listening to the NFL Alumni Media Network with the BT Express, Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me the Way. We are here. We just got finished talking about the Saquon Barkley and Giant dilemma on whether he should be the highest paid running back in the NFL. It looks like he may be the highest paid. He will end up being the highest paid running back in the NFL once all is said and done. But now we're going to turn our attention to the Jets. And there's a lot of news about there are two potential free agents that people are saying the Jets should pick up. And I think it's all coming from the free agents camp and not the Jets camp. But what do you think about DeAndre Hopkins and Dalvin Cook coming to the Jets to play with Brett Favre and that young dynamic receiving core?
With Aaron Rodgers, I think it would be outstanding if they did, because they've already got talent. Now you're talking about competitive talent to have double things at wide receiver, to have double things at running back. I mean, they may be the team to beat if they did that. So I would think that'd be a good move. The only thing I worry about is the salary cap because, you know, Devin Cook was making about $11 million. And I don't remember what Jordan was making. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins was making, but he wants some Odell Beckham money. And I think that's just a once in a year thing, because I don't think there's not much money out there to give them. So that's what scares me, because otherwise, why wouldn't you pick up both of them?
But why would you pick up both of them? You got a dynamic receiving core. The receiving core was the best the Jets had last year, and they're all coming back. They're all healthy. Why are you going to mess up the dynamics? They were explosive. They made plays. I'm talking about, why do you want to bring in an old man and DeAndre Hopkins, right? He shouldn't be able to get any run, right? Because of the receiving corps that they currently have. So he's just taking somebody off the field. So, and Dalvin Cook, why? You have two explosive running backs. Yeah, all granted, one is coming off of ACL surgery, but you still have two explosive running backs. And we just got finished trying to talk about the Eric Gray, Saquon Barkley situation. You want to bring Dalvin Cook into a situation where the Jets locker room is already cohesive and already tailor-made to have a dynamic season? What is going on? I don't agree.
Well, see, and you've almost convinced me, but I think that DeAndre Hopkins, I think he's a possession-type receiver because he doesn't have outstanding speed. He's got great hands, and he's, you know, he can catch the ball in the crowd. I think he would be the one that would help him out because Garrett Wilson, their wide receiver, is on the way to All-Pro. He's one of the best receivers. He's done well. Corey Davis has done a good job. Randall Cobb came over from Green Bay. So I think that if they brought in Andre Hopkins, he could teach some of the guys about little things that they know. And I don't think he would be a mess up in the locker room. And I agree with you on Dalvin Cook because they got Reese Hall and Michael Carter. And I think they are talented at running back. And it's going to be – you and I are going to have to make sure that we take in the Jets because they may be one of the more exciting teams in the league. And regardless of what the Giants do, I just wish they would bring them both at different times because I see the schedules. They play at 1 o'clock, both of them at the same time and too many times. And usually it's because teams are bad. That's the reason they do that. Now, both teams are good. They need to change. And maybe with the flexibility of the TV schedule, maybe we'll be able to see that down the line.
Yeah, I'm hoping that, especially for the New York market, and they had done a very good job in years past of splitting the two teams. One team would play at 1 o'clock, the other team would play at 4 o'clock. Given the New York fan base, not the Jets and Giants fan base in particular, but the New York fan base, an opportunity to see both at their separate times. And I think because of the excitement surrounding both teams, that I guarantee you'll see some schedule changes in the upcoming future, because this is probably the one of the biggest, if not the biggest outside of LA, the biggest media market in the country. Yep. And so they want to make sure they're getting those eyes, especially since they got all that TV money coming in. I think it would be wise to change up the schedule to make sure that the New York fan base is allowed to watch both of these dynamic teams.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, we talked about this a few weeks ago, the flexibility of the TV schedule. They'll have the ability to bring people on Thursday and change the schedule. The only person that does not benefit is the fans that go to the game, because if, say, you had a Sunday game and then they change it to Thursday, that's hard for the fans to do that, especially if he's bringing his kid on a school night. So I think that the NFL is going to have to really get this down, because if you see it, this is the best the NFL has ever looked, in my opinion. There's talent, there's parity all over the league. There's more people in contention. I can't tell you now who's going to win the Super Bowl. And the thing about it is that you and I both played. We know what's going on. So I just think the NFL, they're going to have to make sure they take care of things, because they got things going on YouTube. They got things on Prime Television. They're going to have the market on what's coming on television. The only thing I want is to be able to tape some of the games. And Prime doesn't allow you to do that. I don't know if YouTube will, but, you know, YouTube's taken over for DirecTV. And this is going to be something that we have never seen before. And the NFL salary cap is definitely going up, because they're making more billions almost every single year.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, that's what I'm having a hard time kind of rationalizing, is because DirecTV, you had DVR, you could DVR the games, you can watch them, you can play them back, you can do whatever. And I know there is a replay. If you sign up for the NFL Sunday Ticket, you can watch the games back. But it's not that simple, especially somebody that's been with DirecTV like his entire DirecTV life. I mean, that DVR, you live by the DVR. You just go in, switch channels, you can go back and forth. And now you're adding another media platform to that mix. It just makes it just tough. And I'm struggling, BT, I'm struggling. Like, I hate the fact that we're on NFL Sunday Ticket on YouTube. They're literally making you change your TV preference. You gotta get YouTube TV if you want to watch the Giants game in another game. Unless you want to watch it on your phone.
And the thing I want to ask you though is that someone told me that, okay, you already said that they're gonna go to 18 games, which makes sense because it's not balanced right now. But I always thought from a player standpoint, we talk about running backs not making it, through the season, that's going to be harder for a lot of people. 18 games is a lot of games to play. So the question I have you is that someone asked me the other day was that, do you think the Super Bowl eventually will go to pay-per-view television? That's too deep because NFL has always been a free market for television, except for the Thursday night game, you got to have that kind of cable. But will the Super Bowl eventually, with the way that they're going, be on pay-per-view TV?
I hope not. Look how it damaged boxing. I mean, boxing went to pay-per-view and it's non-existent anymore. You got DAZN Network, you got Showtime pay-per-view, you got HBO pay-per-view, and they don't even show the game. That usually you can watch the fight the following week on the regular channel. They don't even do that anymore. So and that's why boxing is irrelevant. I don't think you can take a national holiday that's really an unofficial national holiday as the Super Bowl and make it a pay-per-view event. That would defeat, and that, I think that would destroy the NFL, and it destroys everything the NFL stands for. It's about the game for the fans, and it's about bringing new fans to the game. And that's one night or one day out of the year that no matter if you're a football fan or not, you watch the game. And that's what makes NFL the greatest sport, American sport of all time.
Should the NFL, they want to pay them, I know they don't want to do the pay-per-view, but should they be careful on networks that they're buying up? Because you see the guy for Prime, Amazon, he paid $1 billion to be on Thursday night. Is the money too much for the NFL? And should they turn some of that down? You said you didn't like YouTube and stuff like that, but some of the situations they're just doing for the money, and that's not helping anybody. And with us, would this hurt the NFL in later years?
I you know what? Just the way things are going, people aren't watching TV as much. If you think about it, how much TV do you watch? You don't even watch that much. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, do I even need DirecTV anymore? To some extent, because I'm not watching it anymore. And so I just can't, see myself watching YouTube TV. I can't. It's still a internet platform that I really don't want to use. And I know televisions are smart TVs. You have easy access, but it's not like flipping channels. You can't flip from YouTube to Netflix to DirecTV. It takes about a good, 10, 20 seconds, as quick as it is, it still takes some time. Whereas if you have that remote control on DirecTV, it's instant. You can watch whatever you, and then that's the thing. You got to load a game. You know how they spend when you're loading games? And on DirecTV, especially if they're, I used to watch NFL's Sunday Ticket, the Red Zone, when in the fourth quarter and all the games are getting good in the fourth quarter, you can just flip the channels and go back and forth quick. How are you going to do that on YouTube? By the time you get to the next game, it's over, right? Because you got to load the game up on the internet. And so I'm like kind of upset about this YouTube thing. Why am I even going to watch the game? It's not exciting anymore. Because by the time I turn to the game that I want to see, it's over because it took 20, 30 seconds for it to load.
But they're going to have to get the kinks out. And, when they go through a different place, they're going to have to figure out a way to get it done. The thing that kind of scares me also is that I love DirecTV. I love, watching the Red Zone and watching. I would take 5 or 6 games. And the only reason I did that is so that I could see what was happening in the future. you know, like what teams look like down the line. The thing that scares me also, Charles Way, is that the exhibition season has been almost ridiculous because they don't play the veterans. And so what's going to happen then? Because I saw that, you know, Giants have three exhibition games. And I think Brian Daboll is going to play his players more than most people. And I think that that would gets them ready for the season. And I hate, you know, exhibition season as a former player, but I understand the need for it. And will they be able to get the kinks out in the preseason so that by the time the season starts, everything will run smoothly?
I think they're going to have to. I think they're going to have to, I mean, have the preseason on YouTube just so that people can get comfortable with it. I know on YouTube you can have like four or five different panels open at one time, and that may be a plus, but you still got to get used to it on your smart TV. On your phone is good. Everybody's used to the phone. Probably on your laptop, you can do it on your laptop. But on the smart TV is a whole new ball game, because it's not like you can use your fingers like on a touch screen or anything like that. You got a remote control that you got to mess around with. And how are you going to unless you have YouTube TV, right? And that's not free. Unless you have YouTube TV, how are you going to flip back and forth between an out-of-market game and an in-market game?
It's tough for everybody. And I just, even last year kind of intrigued me because of the Prime Amazon. I was, sometimes I don't want to go to bed late. I don't want to go to bed late. So I go in early, I tape the game and then watch it in the morning. I could not do that on Thursday nights. And that's kind of messed me up just as a guy who wanted to see the rest of the teams. So I'm trying to figure, are they going to get this stuff out the way? Because Prime has got to be better than last year. I thought they were not very good in what they were doing. And then like people talk about NFL's taking too many days. Now they got a Friday with a good Friday they're playing on. And that's going to be tough for a lot of fans. So you got a Monday, you got a Sunday, a Monday, a Thursday, and a Friday. That's 4 days of the week that the NFL has taken up. So I don't know if they're being too greedy or because the golden goose is definitely hatching, you know, because the money is there. I didn't ever think the money would get this big, and that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I think the owners are getting paid. Owners are making money. And that's the thing. Owners got to realize that if you want to make as much money as you're making, you better start paying these running backs some money. That's all I got to say.
Well, you heard it here first. We call this the Expressway with Billy Taylor and Charles Way. We're on each and every week. And we come back, we're going to talk about John Moran getting suspended by the NBA for 25 games. And we're also going to make sure down the line in the fourth quarter, talk about the Denver Nuggets as the champions. So don't move a muscle. We'll be right back with more on the Expressway after these messages.
And we're back with the Expressway here. This is the BT Express, Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me the Way. We are through two quarters over the halfway mark here, talking about some exciting New York Giants and New York Jets football, as well as our thoughts on the new TV schedule the NFL has brought to us by YouTube and Prime TV and you name it, Paramount, Peacock, you name it. Whatever social media platform is out there, they are selling themselves to. You got $1 billion? I got a game for you. I'll make a Tuesday night game if you give me $1 billion. So anyway, obviously.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Season over, the NBA commissioner said that he was going to announce Ja Morant's suspension after the NBA playoffs concluded. NBA playoffs concluded, and this last week, NBA commissioner came down with the decision to suspend Ja Morant for 25 games. The question that everybody is having, we had it when we were talking about it, when we knew the suspension was coming, is 25 games enough? What do you think?
I don't think it's enough. And the reason I say it is because fool me once and shame on me. Fool you twice, that's, you know, somebody else's fault. I just think if you got to tell somebody two times to do something, then you need to let them know a big message. And I think what he did was ridiculous. I really do, because he's almost acting like he's a gang member. He's a thug. And he's really not. But that's the image that he's portraying. And see, I just think that he's a great ball player. One of the best in the league, one of the more exciting players. And for him to only get 25 games, I thought he would at least get half a season, which would be 41 games. And I thought he might deserve a whole season, because you got to send a message, Charles. You can't be bringing guns in and out of places, no matter what the legality of the world is. I was down in Florida last week, and you don't have to have any kind of thing to get a gun. And that's dangerous. And I just think that if you allow that for the NBA players to do it, you open up a can of worms that should not be there. And I don't think he got enough games.
Yeah, and like I mentioned last week, I think it's important for the NBA to have a support system surrounding Ja Morant during this time. Obviously, he will be on the team for 25 games, but he needs to, and they did say that he was going to be a part of a plan during his suspension where he has to meet certain people or groups to make sure that he's dealing with a lot of the issues that he has admittedly said he has. So hopefully this time he learns. It takes a few years for young guys, actually for anybody, to get it, especially if you don't automatically kind of get the professionalism that you need, especially in the entertainment space. Just look at Allen Iverson. We talked about more than just a chip when the documentary about the 2000 and the year that they went to the NBA Finals, how Allen Iverson said he wished he could change the way he thought about Larry Brown and listen to him more. Because if he would have listened to him more, Larry Brown even said he would have probably had a chance to be the greatest player of all time. And so I just think it's a young person's character issue that may not have had the role models in their lives when they grew up.
Well, I think it's who you hang out with also. And I think that Allen Iverson, and probably just like Ja Morant, he was hanging around with the wrong people. Allen Iverson thought that people deserved to be with him because of them helping him when he was younger. I just think that Ja Morant doesn't realize that the people you hang out with people are judging you by that. You can't hang around with people who are thugs and carry guns and are going to hurt your image.
Yeah, I think from that standpoint, I think it's about the people that you grew up around. When you look at Allen Iverson, John Thompson was a critical role model in Allen Iverson's life. And then when you look at Ja Morant, and his father was around, he had a father figure in his household, right? But for some reason, there was something missing, and it might just be because it's you said it, the people that hang around him may have had more influence than his parents, but maybe he just, as a guy that grew up that didn't have a lot of discipline around him. And so he was able to do some of the things that he wanted to do. But I think the NBA, the NFL, all of the major sports teams have things in place, have people in place to help guide these young men at least on the right track. I was a part of that system. I was the one leading that system for the New York Giants and the NFL. We put things in place for these young men to help them, you know, kind of maneuver and manage their way through their professional career in and out of the game. And so it's up to the player, though, to at least take advantage of those opportunities and improve upon them.
Well, see, I love what the NFL and the NBA does, because say that you went to a bar and you maybe had a couple drinks and you didn't want to drive home. There's an 800 number you can call for both the NBA and the NFL for someone to come get you. There's no excuses anymore for you to mess up, to not be diligently welcome for your team. You know, you're supposed to be especially in the team sports, you're supposed to be an example for a lot of people. And I just think that by him doing it the second time shows me that he didn't really put too much effort into his thought process. And I just think that he got away, you know, he got probably a lenient commissioner and the commissioner of the NBA. And I just think that 25 games was not enough. And we're going to see if he is able to do that, because you hit somebody in the pocketbook, I heard it, he might miss between 8 and 10 million. I mean, I don't think you can make up for that kind of money. And the thing about it is that the NBA players are getting CEO of company money. And to get that kind of money, it goes with some other stuff. You got to be an example. You got to be a role model. You got to make sure that you stay out of certain situations. You don't need to be out at 3 o'clock in the morning. I remember one time, Stephon Marbury, he was playing with the Nets, and they caught him at 3 o'clock in the morning. He was in his Rolls Royce Bentley, and he got robbed. And they say, well, that's your fault for being out at 3 o'clock in the morning. My dad said, if you can't get it by 11 o'clock, you need to go home.
Well, you're a little bit older than I am. So you were around when Anthony Mason, you remember Oakley? Yep. I remember, because I was young I was a rookie at the time. And I go out and you see these old dudes hanging out and everybody, and we all know one another. And it's like 2-3 in the morning. I'm like, what is going on out here? These dudes are still rolling like it's like 1 in the afternoon. So it's wild. That nightlife is wild. You would like to think, because of how society has changed, players' actions have changed. I just think they probably haven't changed. They just know how to hide it a little better. But speaking of just player discipline, player off the field issues, what about the NFL gambling policy and how many violations that players have gotten themselves in trouble with? You know, this past week, the NFL actually had a media session to go over the 6 new rules because of the ambiguity I believe some of the players may have had regarding the gambling policy. As you well know, you can gamble on your phone anytime, anywhere, any day on anything. And I think the NFL had to come up with these new rules, and I'll go over them in a second, had to go over these new rules because players need to know what they can and can't do. And I don't think they do. And so here are the 6 rules that are key rules of the gambling policy that should be like
not enforced.
Yeah. And so the first one is just don't bet on the NFL. that's just self-explanatory. Don't gamble at your team facility. Like a lot of people were gambling at their team facility while traveling for the road game or staying at a team hotel. So whether you're walking down the street and you're in Dallas, you can't gamble at a hotel, on a bus, on a train, or on a plane. You can't gamble at all. Don't have someone bet for you. So how do you, and I see, I don't understand that one. You just, you can bet, just give me the money. I don't understand that one. Don't share team inside information, right? Don't enter a sports book during the NFL playing season. So don't go in. So when you go into a casino, like a lot of guys go into the casino, you got to stay out of the sports betting area. And that's probably very difficult for some guys if they want to place a bet on a different sport. And don't play daily fantasy football.
Why not play fantasy football?
That's what I don't understand. You got to tell me about that.
Well, see, the thing that I'm thinking of, Charles, is that, you know, Pete Rose in Major League Baseball got suspended for life. You go into any locker room in the Major League Baseball, it says, if you gamble on a team, you have a chance to be banished for life. I think that's the thing that would bring the NFL down. If a guy was gambling on his whole team, he would gamble because he knows who's going to be injured from week to week. He can tell some of the bettors out there. He'll have the inside information, and that cannot help your game at all. The great thing about the NFL is people know it's real. There's no trying to make sure that you gamble and then make sure that you know the inside tricks on it. The guys who got suspended, and it's been a couple the last couple years, they made mistakes because if you're making X amount of dollars a year, there's no way you should gamble. You really shouldn't. And the thing about it, Charles, it's legal in New Jersey and New York. In New York and New Jersey made more money last year from the NFL gambling than they've ever made. So it's kind of a hypocritical situation because the NFL is in bed with the gambling because they get a percentage of it now. So this is a difficult position, but they don't want the players to do it. And I think you got to abide by those rules. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself outside of the game.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
And you have to, and it's all about protecting the integrity of the game. I have a friend that I work with that thinks the NFL college football is rigged anyway, because and it just so happens to work out this way. You know a number of games where the one team has already covered the line, and all of a sudden the guy goes down and runs down, stops short of the goal line where he would actually win for the under, but he doesn't score, and it's like, that's rigged. They knew the spread, and they were on side of the bookies because they didn't want the too many people to win the money. And so it's already, you have people already, especially gamblers, already convinced that everything is rigged. And so you have to, now that it's so accessible right at your fingertips, you got to be aware of where you're doing this to protect the integrity of the game.
And you got to enforce it, because if you don't enforce it, you're going to have people who don't believe in the integrity of the NFL. The NFL, one of the reasons why it's been so popular is because it's a great betting game. It really is, because, you know, they have football pools out, they have fantasy football now, and a lot of people get involved with all that. So even if a game is not a great game on TV, people will see it to the end to find the score. I totally agree with you. And I've seen it many times. It's always been beneficial for a team. A guy gets ready to run down there. They're leading by five, and they go down. He runs down to the one and stops because he wants the clock to run and the other team not to get the ball. But then the people who are bettors are thinking, well, this game is rigged. There's no way it's rigged. Football's got to be the hardest game to rig, because if you ease up one time, you'll get your butt kicked. So I believe in the NFL. I do believe what they're doing is right, to getting rid of the people who gamble and who everybody gets caught. And you're on camera when you go into those bookie rooms. And if you're stupid enough to do something when you know the camera's watching, because that's the difference in when I played and when you played, they got more cameras everywhere. Now you can't do many things without looking at the camera.
No, and you're, we'll be right back, but you're listening to The Expressway with the BT Express, Bill Teller and Charles Show Me the Way. We'll be right back to wrap up this segment about gambling, but also talk about the NBA Finals and this week's NBA Draft. We'll be right back in a moment. And welcome back to The Expressway. You're listening to the BT Express, Billy Teller and Charles Show Me the Way. We've just finished three quarters of exciting New York Giants, New York Jets, and the world of sports news today and this week. We're now is our best segment, the fourth quarter, which we always talk NBA basketball. We just crowned our NBA champions, Denver Nuggets. Now we are rolling up to the NBA draft, where everyone knows the San Antonio Spurs will be picking their number one pick, the all everything, the 7'4", 209 pounds individual from France, Victor Wembanyama. He may be the game changer of the millennia. The new LeBron James, the new Michael Jordan, the new Stephon Curry. It's just, this dude is like Kevin Durant on steroids because he is 7'4", can shoot, can drive, and can play defense. I don't know if Kevin Durant can play really good defense, but this dude can play defense. So I'm excited to see what he does. I hope he plays in the summer league so we can get a chance to see just some of his skills. And then the second pick, the top three picks, the second pick is our Charlotte Hornets. I don't know if they need a guard, but I don't know if there's anybody else in the draft that could be a difference maker like Scoot Henderson. And I think he's a 6'2", 196-pound guard, lightning quick, right, but really can't shoot. And that's an issue because the game has become a perimeter game. Yeah, you have to drive, but you also have to be able to shoot. Because if you can't shoot, defense will sag off of you and make you shoot and will eliminate that drive. So I just hope Charlotte gets the pick right because I just hate seeing them being bad every year. And I think that's why Michael Jordan sold the team for $3 billion. I think that's like a $2.5 billion investment. Because didn't he buy the team for $500 million or something like that?
Yes. Yep. But I think that he's going to be able to be okay because he's still maintaining a little bit of ownership. He doesn't have the full ownership like he did. Now, I watched Victor, the 7'4" guy. I watched him throw out the first pitch. So baseball is not his game. he couldn't throw the ball over the plate. He had the catcher run it out to the right. And what I liked about him, he said that he modeled his game when he was younger after Kevin Durant, shooting the jumper, being especially precise on where he was shooting from. But the thing about it, his athleticism is going crazy. Now, you look at now the players that are coming outside the United States. Nikola Jokic, who won the championship with Denver, has changed the game because he's able to shoot outside and be a point center. I could see Victor being the same guy, kind of a point center and getting everybody involved. He's going to play for Greg Popovich down in San Antonio, who's one of the more respected coaches in the NBA. I think he's going to bring out the best in him. So I think the NBA is in good shape for a long time. And I think the Spurs are going to be back in it if they can find the right chemistry to do things. But I'm excited because I always think, you know, maybe there's only one or two players in the NBA are holding it up. Now you got more talent in the NBA than we've ever seen in the history.
Absolutely. I forget. This is another, I almost forgot. What do you think about the trade for Bradley Beal making a super team with over in Phoenix? With you got DeAndre Ayton, Kevin Durant,
Booker,
and Booker. And so, but because of the new collective bargaining agreement, they're not going to have any money to sign anybody else. So
yeah, but they're not, and they don't play defense as well as they do. You talked about Kevin Durant. He's pretty good, but he's not great on defense. And so, you know, they're not gonna have Chris Paul anymore because he got traded to Washington. But I think he's gonna get bought out of that, maybe play for somebody else on the West Coast because his family is from Los Angeles. I just think that it's a situation where you have so many big guys in the NBA who can shoot outside. Because even Joel Embiid, you know, he's done a pretty good job in shooting a three, and I think that he can improve his game by being a better passer. And I think that Nikola Jokic of Denver is the guy that kind of is showing people that since you're taller than everybody, you see over everybody, you should be a great passer. I remember, and I said it before, I read some stuff with Wilt Chamberlain was a great passer, like Joker. So I just think that it's going to be fun to watch the NBA. The first three picks, Spurs, Hornets, and Trailblazers, are going to have some great talent with whoever gets it, because right behind Victor are some really talented people that I was impressed with when I was watching the other day. The only thing I'm saying is that the NBA is going global. I think pretty soon you may have a player in France, maybe in Italy, maybe in Germany, because that's where the league is going. You got more foreign ball players now in the NBA than you've ever had that are doing a great job. Even the guy in Dallas is doing a great job. He's a ball hog and a ball stopper, but He's one of the best players in the NBA. So I think the NBA is in fantastic shape. But what I wanted to ask you, Charles Wade, and you're a Philadelphia fan, who are some of the most influential players that have changed the game of basketball? And I definitely have to go with Stephon Curry, because you got kids shooting from half court now who would never do that. And the coach used to take players out of the game if you took a bad shot. But now he's showing that there's really no bad shots if you make it once in a while. Even Damon Lillard of Portland, he shoots the ball way deep out there. So I think Stephon Curry is one of the guys who's changed the game. Who else do you think have changed the game in the NBA?
Yeah, when you told me you were going to ask me that question, I wanted to break it down into eras. Like, yep. Which eras?
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Kind of, you know, the style of play, kind of you saw it kind of elevate and revolutionize the era. Like George Iceman Gervin, right?
Yep.
You know, Wilt Chamberlain.
Yep.
Revolutionized, even Dr. J.
Yep.
Revolutionized that era, right? And yep. Then after that era, it was Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and then Michael was towards the end of that, right?
Yep.
So you still had Magic and Larry Bird kind of revolutionizing that era, right? And then after, so from the Larry Bird, do you think Isaiah Thomas would be? I don't think Isaiah Thomas is somebody that revolutionized an era that you would say was an integral part. I think it was like Magic, because he was that pass guy. He was flashy with the passes. Isaiah was a great passer too, a distributor, right? But Magic was flashy. He was 6'9", 6'10", big. He was different. He wasn't your normal guard doing all of that. And so that's what makes him revolutionary. Larry Bird was that he could shoot the ball. He could shoot the three, sweet. I mean, I think if you're talking about someone outside of those flashy guards back in like George Gervin, who was a flashy guard, right? Yep. I think Larry Bird was more of Pistol Pete Maravich type, because Pistol Pete could shoot and pass.
Yep.
He didn't like the pass, but he could pass. And so in the era, I think the two main people in that Larry Bird Magic era, which was what, the 80 era?
Yep.
Would be those two. And then Magic caught the end of 80 to 90. Right.
Well, where would you put Allen Iverson? Because, see, a lot of people got better handling the ball because of the way he did it. As a matter of fact, his most famous one was when he crossed over Michael Jordan and hit the jump shot. You know, they thought that could never happen. But I think that he revolutionized the crossover more than I've seen any other player. And where does he fit in this?
Yeah, I think that's the type of player you have to compare everyone else to. When you're talking about who revolutionized the NBA, like Steph Curry, everybody shoots jumpers half court now because he did it, right? Everybody's doing crossover because AI did it. When you look at Kobe Bryant, he could arguably one of the greatest players of all time, but did he revolutionize, like, did people want to do everything exactly the way he did it? Did he change the game? In a way, because his game was defense and he could score, right? But there's nothing you could pick out to say, okay, that's what I want to tailor my game to. But when you look at AI, he had the crossover. When you look at Steph, he's shooting from half court and would play the dribbling games. There's nothing you could say about the greatest player of all time, Kobe, even LeBron James. How can you emulate LeBron's game? When you look at about revolutionize, you emulate, you want to be just like, or you try to copy. When I see Michael Jordan, you can copy because of his dunking ability, because he revolutionized that. But when you think of Kobe, What do you want to emulate from Kobe?
Well, the thing that kind of kills me, and I'll give you two examples. Number one, he was a ball hog. Number two, he hit 81 points, which is the most somebody has hit since Wilt Chamberlain, did not have a single assist in that game. And so that kind of bothers me, because if you run down on the break and you play a little basketball, we played together a couple of times, Charles. You know, when you run down the break and you're on the side, if you're open, they should give you the ball. Kobe would not give up the ball. He got mad because Shaq wanted the ball too much. He could have won 6 or 7 championships or even more than that if he had played with Shaq and been sympathetic toward what he needed to do to please the big man. He didn't try to do that. He wanted to do it by himself. And I think these days you got to realize that you need help in every situation. Just like a running back in football needs the blockers, I still think in basketball you need people all around that can play the game. And when somebody's open, you give them the ball. And that's the only thing that made me mad about Kobe, is that he wouldn't give up the rock for nothing.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. And that kind of makes you think about the two Detroit, and it happens to be the Detroit Pistons to do it. They did it with Chuck Daly and they did it with Larry Brown. They didn't have the greatest team.
No, they didn't.
Player for player, they did not have the greatest team when they won those championships, right? Because they bullied you under Chuck Daly, and they played great defense when Larry Brown had Ben Wallace Ben Wallace couldn't shoot a three free throw. All he did was rebound, right? And so when you look at those teams that Detroit had, it makes me wonder, should you start, especially now that you are so constrained with the salary cap, should you just make sure you have a good team that can work together, that complements one another? You don't need superstars all over the place. You just need guys to know their role and will do that role to the best of their ability.
What do you think Denver is going to repeat because of their great defensive pressure they put on and the chemistry that they showed? Do you think they'll repeat next year?
They have a great chance. I think that the day of the super team, especially if you don't have the complementary players, you can't make a full team. Because think about it. They don't have a true guard in Arizona right now. You got Booker and you got Beal. Neither one of them are true point guards. I know Booker had to be somewhat of a point guard because of Chris Paul's injury, but he's not a point guard, and Kevin Durant isn't a point guard, and you got DeAndre Ayton. Now, who's your fifth guy? Who's going to be your fifth guy on there on defense? Is it another guard that is going to be your point guard, or is it going to be a power forward?
Well, the bad thing about that is that they have no bench at all, because they have nobody to come in and relieve people. 82 games has already shown it's too many games in the NBA. A lot of players, you know, they have that load management where they may play 65 games or something like that. I think the new rule in the NBA is you cannot make the All-NBA if you play less than 65 games. I kind of like that rule, too. And see, I think that with what Phoenix has done is gotten rid of the basic part of their games, but they need depth. They need people to come off the bench and relieve people, especially when they're not playing as well. So I don't think Phoenix is going to – they're going to be in contention, but I don't think they're going to win the championship. I'm still going to go with the Denver Nuggets because I like the way their chemistry goes. I see the coach of the Denver Nuggets put a tattoo on his arm because they won the championship. And that would be the only chance I would put some tattoo on if I won a championship, but it's too late for me.
Yeah, it's exciting. I can't wait to see the NBA draft this week and see who goes where and what these teams are thinking about doing.
Where would you put LeBron on this list? Because what I was impressed with, and when I first saw LeBron, I saw him in high school, is that he passed the ball. You know, he's wide open, stuff like that. When somebody is open, he always gives them the ball. So I that's what I hope would other players would pick up on, that if somebody's open, give up the rock.
Yeah, like I said, what part of his game as a young guy can I emulate? Right. It's just his natural physical ability. I mean, his physical presence, he's bigger than a lot of the people, and he's doing things that other big guys can't do. So for me, as an average ball player, I can't emulate him. I can emulate Allen Iverson because I'm just as small as Allen Iverson for the average human being who's 6'2", right?
Yep.
6'1". I can emulate Steph Curry because I'm not 6'9" or 6'11". Right. And think about this. We talk about Wimby. Wemby emulates Kevin Durant because he's 6'10", 6'11", and can shoot. Or even a Joel Embiid, who is 7 foot and can shoot and do everything. So that's what I think about when I look at emulating somebody.
Well, the NBA has changed over the last so many years for the better, and they're bringing people in from all over the world. And I do believe that they will have some teams out there. They're going to come from Europe that might be global. As a matter of fact, they were talking about having an all-star team with the people from Europe and the people from the United States. And that might be a pretty good game because you look at Joker, you look at Wemby, the guy from Victor, the guy who's going to be the number one draft choice. And you look at Joel Embiid. He's from Africa somewhere. So I just think they may have the best in the game right now. And I don't know if they had, you know, back in 90-some-two when the All-Star game with Michael Jordan and Magic and Patrick Ewing, I don't know if that could ever happen again because of the European ball players playing such an instrumental role in the success of the NBA.
Yeah, I think if you want to get back to having competitive All-Star games, you have USA versus the world as an All-Star game, and I guarantee those international players will be taking it to the USA players to say you better come correct. But think about it. I don't think you can compete with the international teams because who's playing center? Because Luka is Joel Embiid and Joker are the two best centers, and then both of those guys are international players. Yep. Luka is a guard. He's an international player. So all of your best players at your major positions are predominantly international guys.
You've been listening to The Expressway with BT Express Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me the Way. That's why we call it The Expressway. Charles came up with the name. And we talk about anything and everything. We do it in four quarters every single week. And they get a chance to check us out. We're somewhere on the dial, so we'll figure it out. But anyway, as we go along, I got to thank Ben back at the studio. Ben takes great care of Charles and I and makes sure that we're doing good. We got to give Ben the credit for that. So for Charles Way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Billy Taylor. Have a nice day. Thanks for joining us.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.